On today's episode of Brewed Business, Shelby and I will be chatting about how to find the right market for your business and what we're up to this fall. So grab your cup of coffee or your tea and let's get going. Yeah, so I have this week, our nanny started. And so I'm a little stressed because now we have someone who's going to be watching them at home, teaching them, doing things with them. And so yesterday was the first day and I bawled my eyes out leaving the house.
No.
Yeah, no, I got in the car and I cried.
No.
I cried the whole time coming to work. And I don't know if it's just because it's something new and I'm just nervous for the boys and I want them to have a good day. But they were fine. They were perfect. They had a great day. She's sending me all these pictures, giving me follow-up. They decided they didn't want to eat the lunch she made. I'm like, that's typical of my children. But no, it went so good. And it's one of those things, like, I'm so stressed about the holidays coming up. This weekend's Apple Harvest Day.
I was gonna say, it's all hitting at once for you.
Everything's happening at once. And I'm just exhausted. And it was such a relief to see how happy they were when I got home.
Yeah.
And then this morning she shows up and they're like, oh, hi, good morning. Because she's going to take them to a farm today. So they're going to go to a farm. And I was like, this is really cute. Well, I don't have to. That's the other thing is in the mornings I was having to like make their lunches. Like, oh, we got to get out before like they do the cutoff time for when you can drop your kids off, and they only do it every 15 minutes, so you got to be there at a certain time. And
yeah.
Now it's like, oh, she shows up to the house. I'm like, bye. I will say
that's it, right?
That's it. And it's really weird for me to just leave the house.
Yeah.
But it's nice because I know she cares about them and I know they love her. Mm-hmm. So it's just one thing to take off my mama plate.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we're about to hit the craziest time of the year.
Yeah. How do you have to navigate and bob and weave to make your systems in place? So I think that's huge. And then also give yourself grace, give the nanny grace, give your kiddos grace. But then also at the same time, they are in your home environment, so that's great for them. But then at the other side of it, you do have somebody in your house during the day too.
Yeah, it's completely stressful. I literally labeled all of my cabinets.
Yes.
So now
got a label maker out of the kitchen.
I did. I come home the other night and Andy goes, oh, that package is for you. I'm like, what the heck did you buy? He goes, it's a label maker. I'm like, what? He's like, now you can help de-stress yourself. So I labeled the cabinets, dishes, bowls,
oh,
utensils,
perfect.
Baking yep. stuff, knives. Because yep. I don't want her feeling like she can't find something and then she's
Absolutely.
Texting me all day trying to. So this like took a huge distressor. Yep. So label maker.
And then also explain your nanny binder that you made.
So I also created, it's a 3-ring binder, but in it has all the emergency contact info. It has the TV shows that my kids are allowed to watch and what they call it. Because they're little, so they don't always call things
and
what
they
are.
And they can't communicate. Right, exactly. So you did that for
them. Like, yeah. And I put little notes being like, you know, this is how Caden does nap time. And, you know, these are the books he's into right now. I just want to make it as easy as possible. I felt like I was creating a employee handbook because of like, you know, like when you're like, okay, so this is the way we stick our bags and this is the way that we run the register at night and you're closing.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, I guess it's the same kind of thing. And it just makes it so like if she doesn't know what to do, she can just be like, oh, all right, it's here.
Yep.
I can
These are
flip
their
through.
Routines. This is their go-to shows if they can't
quite. Here's the contact info if XYZ happens. It's the little things that add up and then you go, oh, if I had just told them, they could have done it on their own.
You're setting them up, everybody up for success in that manner. So I was impressed when I saw that.
I felt a little crazy.
No, not at all.
So she took it well, though. She didn't seem offended that I had this binder for her.
Right. No, I think that's good.
Yeah. So what's new with you?
We have a big event, Apple Harvest Day, is coming up. And then I also have a pop-up market that happens on the same week.
Oh, I forgot about that. The same day,
isn't
it? It's
literally, yes, yep. So our pop-up market is Friday through Sunday. So there's like 24 of us antique dealers, and then we all come together in Northampton, New Hampshire. It's called Sage Farm Antiques. So it's a fun 3-day. Everybody replenishes all the dealers, restock their spaces every day. It's fun. It's a good time. You never know what you're going to see. The theme this month is all autumn stuff. So all the fall stuff is heavily rolling in. So between those, even the like, couple years prior, we knew that it always hits at once on this. So it's just really prepping and getting everything ready. So inventory, organizing.
How do you juggle that? I mean, you need to be in two places at once on the same day. Apple Harvest Day is the biggest event. Yes. In Dover.
Yeah.
Downtown gets shut down, pedestrian friendly, and it leads up to this huge festival, but then you have this. How are you juggling that today?
I have to de-stress myself. So I get stressed out and then I have to be like, oh no, wait, you have to go back down to your why, back down to your core. And just spreading all the things that you love. So even doing my inventory when I'm like, I have so much to do, where I'm like, I am so excited to show off all this quality things that I've curated. So I have to like switch it. And it happens like every 2 minutes where I'm like, I'm stressed. No, I'm not. This is fun. And then just having our routine setups in place. So I do have my husband and my son have helped me to... I'd say 2 apple harvests ago, my first one, I did it by myself. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way.
Oh, yeah. You can't do apple harvest day by yourself. It's nope. Too many people. It's a lot. It's a lot of people. Thousands of people.
My husband and my son know to chunk off the day just for that. And then they enjoy it, too. There's always food and there's, you know, good times, good stuff going on. So it's always a good time. But for prep and stuff, so I have my tables already ready to go. How I pack the car up. How I get over, I mean, we have to set up by a certain time in the morning. We're setting up a space right outside of our brick and mortar shop. And the person I share my space with is also has a tent of her own. All hands, all prep.
And so these are 2 different themed events in theory.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, so you have to be like, okay, what am I bringing to this one and that one? How do you decide that? How are you doing each booth? Are they all both the same? Are they different? What's different or what's the same about them?
Conveniently, my aesthetic has a lot of neutral colors. So browns, tans, you have like rattan, wicker, all that stuff. So aesthetically, it all kind of works and mingles. Okay. I have for fall. Yep, for the fall themes of stuff. I have a lot more brass, wicker, glassware planned for Apple Harvest Day. And then I showcase all of my candles. So I'll have that. And I have special vessels for Apple Harvest Day. They're both pretty much themed the same, conveniently, just because it is all fall themed right now. So I just try to pull all my warm tones, all my stuff.
Are you bringing more vintage to the other one, though?
Yes, yes. The one in Northampton is a vintage market, so that will definitely be all vintage. I will have a few accents of candles because 'tis the season. But yeah, vintage and Northampton and a whole mixture and array of just pretty much what my shop is curated to be outside. And then, yeah, just getting foot traffic. That's another thing to mm-hmm. get. So when I first started my brick and mortar shop, I was engulfed in the vintage markets. So when I saw the Apple Harvest Day, I was like, no, I think that I was open. I was open in the mill, but I wasn't set up to do a booth there. And I wish I did when I was first starting out, because that was one of my little shoulda, woulda, couldas, I think.
Doing an event isn't necessarily always about the sales. Sometimes for something like that where you were just off the beaten path of where Apple Harvest Day is, that's a great opportunity to tell people, I'm right around the corner.
Yep.
Come see me. I have other things. You know, maybe I can't bring my whole store here, mm-hmm. but I can show you what I have. Apple Harvest Day has so many people right. that wouldn't have seen you, but you're so like literally a stone's throw, just a little too far from where the event was happening.
Right. So I did. I had great foot traffic that day. I was pushing because I was kind of hidden over there in the mill. I was definitely on social media pushing that I was going to be open during those times. I didn't do any sponsored posts, but I would have if I could have. Then just to direct traffic, if people had their phones out and all of a sudden your ad popped up while they happened to be at lunch or somewhere in the near vicinity. The other thing with my antiques is when I started doing these pop-ups, I was strategic on where the groups were and what the shows were happening. And I was kind of a fly on the wall. I was a customer first on all of them just to see how they flowed and then what the foot traffic was, where the best spot was to be. Some of the dealers, like the Sage Farm Antiques, there's only so many dealers. There's so many openings, so many spots. Some of them have been there for 10 plus years. So they're loyal. They're going. They've built right up along with the show base, their audience. And then they know their audience can find them if they're far away. That I have people who can't come to my shop in Dover, but they shop my booth specifically in Northampton because they're closer to the border of Maine or Massachusetts. That's the other thing, location strategic about where you're doing these pop-up markets. I know that a lot of makers, even makers that I've talked to, or even people who with anything, even if you have any product-based business, when they do pop-ups, it's almost like they think the more the merrier. Sometimes that's not the case, depending on how big of an audience you're going to get to. So there's been like craft makers or just makers in general that they'll set up at a craft fair at a high school or a church in their town, and they might have a specific product, but you might not reach the audience you're looking, and you might not get the feedback that you're looking for from that first few shows.
Yeah. My brother-in-law does woodworking, and specifically for him, he makes American flags, and he's a veteran. He's a Marine, and he has those connections already. He makes these frames that are gun cabinets and specifically goes to gun shows. If I asked him to come to something like Apple Harvest Day, that he may get a lot of people in front of him, but they may not be the people specifically looking for his items. He's got big ticket items, you know, people dropping hundreds of dollars on these things. Is a more crafty fair what he should be at? No, he should be at something where it's specifically like the gun shows or a veteran-based event. You know, he's out in California, so he has a little bit more pool of different opportunities. But even Andy and I, when we were doing craft fairs in the beginning, we would, and we're lucky, we make a lot of our own products so we can, like, mugs and design work. We went to, like, this dog-friendly brew fest. I brought a lot of glassware that was dog-themed with funny phrases on it. We had these paw print coasters. Did I bring them to every show? No. But they were specific for that show. Yeah. So sometimes it's literally like you're curating a shop for each event. Mm-hmm. But if you know who your clientele is, you'll do a lot better than if you're just, oh, well, I see there's this fair, I'm going to go to it. Okay, well, who's going to it? You know, who else is going to be a vendor there?
Yep.
That's huge. You know, I've been to events where I thought it was going to be this huge craft fair, and I show up, and no offense to people who sell these things, but it was a lot of Tupperware and Pampered Chef. And so it felt super out of place sitting there, and you're expecting to have pottery next to you and other candle makers and knitters and sewers, and you look over and three tables are full of people selling, you know, their, what would you call that, like catalog merchandise.
Yep.
So you have to know who else is going, and don't be afraid to ask the event planners, who else should I expect here? Mm-hmm. What did you do on previous years? Should I go on Instagram and see who else attended?
Mm-hmm. So there's a couple other bigger vintage market that pop up in New England. And then that's been one of those things. It's a higher price. It's almost like you pay to play. So they're like a 10 by 10 space might be like $350 or even more, depending on where you are. If you have the tent provided, if you're bringing your own tent, mm-hmm. if you're there, right, if it's a 1 day thing or if it's a 2 day thing. So you divide that by per day. Things like that to all take into account. But if you think about the amount of foot traffic that these bigger venues bring, these bigger shows bring, then that's like, hey, you're putting yourself out there in this huge domain. It's almost like if you Google searched, you'd have way more people. And yes, you may, after a whole 200 people seeing your booth, you might have 10 solid customers, but at least you're putting yourself out there. I mean, even my father-in-law, he went to a farmer's market and was like, oh, they had these really nice soaps. And I talked to the woman who makes the soaps and she's super sweet. And I thought of you and your shop and here's a card and, you know, kind of one of those things. Make just from connection. Making a connection. Yeah, there's my father-in-law. Had no idea, you know, I'm out doing mind of my business. He's doing his thing. But then at the end of the day, oh, hey, I thought of you when I saw this, and here's the contact information.
Yeah. And sometimes finding these fairs and markets to go to, we started at probably the smallest market I've ever done, and it was a monthly market, and it was a really inexpensive table. I can't even remember. This was like 10 years ago. And we would go once a month. So it was people expected people to show up, but it was at a museum. And some days, nobody would show up. And other times, you know, we do pretty good. But most of the day you spent sitting around. Is it worth my time to sit there all day long? Yes, I can meet other vendors. Mm-hmm. But who's actually coming? And am I marketing this event as well? Who's my clientele? Are people coming to this farmer's market expecting fruit and vegetables and I'm selling candles? Mm-hmm. And then they're not buying from me because they're like, well, no, I just want to get my groceries. So it's good to know what the expectations of the people attending are.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. So the learning experience, so like you said, if you have a quieter market, it's a nice practice.
Yes.
So if you're not being thrown into a crazy event when there's 400 people coming at you, or you're just overwhelmed, or five people are asking you questions at once, you're trying to pack something. So it's kind of nice to slowly get your momentum. So I think that's a good thing. I just hate to see the flip side of it where folks start out and they're so excited and so passionate about what they're doing, and then they get in the wrong market, or they do like a pop-up at a church and they only made one sale for the day, and they're like, everybody hates my stuff. It just goes down like a whole little spiral very quickly of like, who am I to think I can sell this? Is this something that people even want? And then it just goes, and it just brings down the energy and the overall positivity of what you're doing. So that's one thing to just keep in mind.
Seriously, get discouraged very quickly if you're going to a market that you have really high expectations for and you have two sales all day long because it rained. Mm-hmm. It wasn't you. It was the weather. If you are passionate enough about what you sell, there is a customer out there for you. You just have to find them.
Mm-hmm. And then also just let them know if you can ahead of time, if you're going to be at an event, start sharing it 2 weeks prior to say, hey, I'm going to be here. If you're out and about or with a friend or lunch out, come see me afterwards.
You never know who you're going to meet. Because as a person who owns a gift shop and I look for local artisans every time I go to a market, your persona and your personality at those events speaks a lot about your product. Mm-hmm. There was a festival a little while ago in South Berwick, their annual strawberry festival. And I was going around trying to find different vendors because, you know, there's certain things we don't see these people all the time. They've got great product. And there was a couple people that I walked up to their booth really excited, trying to check out what they did. And they couldn't have cared less that I was there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they were, you know, they're just tired at the end of the day. But that made me, as someone who's looking to bring someone into my shop, say, I don't know if you're a good fit for me. You don't seem like you want to be here. Your product looks pretty, but are you going to be passionate enough to want to promote it that you're in our store, or that when we talk about you, we can, you know, honestly say, oh my gosh, I love this person. They've got such a great personality. I mean, I will say it is exhausting to do markets and fairs. Mm-hmm. I am constantly on. You are not sitting. I stand every time. My husband thinks I'm insane. I was 8 months pregnant at an apple harvest day and I would not sit. He was like, you need to sit down. I'm like, no, but there's people walking by. I gotta say hi. I'm the person who people are walking by poking, looking at the booth, and I'm waving going, hi, good morning, how are you today? And then they come in because you've made that connection. Exactly. Yeah. You know, they might have been just on the edge of being like, I kind of want to see that, but I don't want to, you know, really go into the tent. And then if you make that connection, they feel more comfortable. They're like, all right, I'll come in. I'll check it out. So you have to be on all the time. And yeah, it's exhausting, especially if you're having an event where you feel like nothing's going right. Mm-hmm. You don't know who you're going to meet. I saw someone post the other day. She was in one of the Facebook groups that I'm in, and she had done a craft fair, and it was one of her first events. And she said, all day was so slow. I was giving up hope. And then at the end of the day, a bunch of people started packing up early, and she waited. Her last sale of the day was the biggest sale of her day, and it like tripled her day because mm-hmm. she was waiting patiently. She was chatty with them. I was like, that's a great example of don't give up early. Mm-hmm. You don't know who's going to be walking around.
Yep. No, it always goes in antiques, the same thing. People will eye something as they walk. Even these big events, they'll be eyeing something. Some people will say, I'm shopping as I go down. When I come back, if it's still there, it's meant to be, type of thing. So yes. I've had the same thing. I was set up at the Deerfield Fairgrounds for Brimfield North event, and everybody was packing. I think even my husband went to get the car, but I still had. And I had one gentleman came in, and he bought a painting of mine that was a lot of money. And I had already had a good day, but I was like, oh, if I wasn't here, everybody else already had packed up or started to. And I was like, well, we'll see. So yeah, you never know. Yeah.
It's the same concept of you close at 5, it's 4:58, and somebody comes up to your door and says, are you closing? If you let them in and let them shop, there's a good chance that they're going to buy something, especially if you're like, hey, we close at 5, but come on in. Mm-hmm. Let them know. Set your boundaries. Say, we close at 5. I'm more than happy to help you find whatever you're looking for. 9 times out of 10, they buy something. But if you close, you're taking that opportunity away from them. Don't shut out your customers. Make sure that you're open. Even if you're packing up, if someone comes up, chit-chat with them, because they might see something you're packing up and you can still sell it. Just because you're in the middle of packing up does not mean that you can't make a sale.
Correct. Yep. Even though you're exhausted, because it's physical, it's mental, you have to put on your customer service face. You got to keep the enthusiasm up. So it's like switch the exhausted with enthusiasm. Go until the very end, till the last minute of the event and until you're packing up. And just be grateful, because you're going to make connections with the other vendors. Mm-hmm. You're going to make so many connections with potential customers, just getting your face out there. Even if you didn't make enough sales for that day, you just don't know how many seeds you could have planted.
And always have business cards. Mm-hmm. If someone is looking for you later, you better have a way for them to find you when they're thinking, especially right before Christmas, mm-hmm. when people are doing their holiday shopping. If you're at a big event and they see something, maybe they don't want to grab it right then. They have their kids, they're juggling their kids, or they don't want to carry something, but they want to reach back out to you. Have a website that they can go to. Have a clear indication of how they can be reaching out to you to purchase your products. Because maybe they can't do it right then and there, but give them the opportunity. Don't close them out.
QR codes too. QR codes with even signs with QR codes on them for your social media pages, things like that. That's easy to follow and become a fan and to find you later.
Yeah. This week's going to be a little crazy. We've only got a couple more days until Apple Harvest Day.
Yeah, it's crunch time.
So that's all for this week. We definitely think you should go out and check out your local markets, even if you're not attending as a vendor. It's a great opportunity to see what else is out there. Find who your customer is and just see what markets fit for you. You know, not all of them are going to fit, but maybe you find one that's really specific to you and will work for you. So we'll see you next week. And until then, have a great week.